Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today are two, I'm going to say old friends, because we've been working alongside each other in lots of different capacities for a long time. With me is the past and current leadership of Wyman, Claire Winnikin, Allison Williams. Welcome to The Preventable.
Oh, thanks, Nicole.
We're so excited to be here.
Thank you for inviting us.
First of all, Claire, I'm mad at myself that I haven't invited you before. I'm mad at myself because I was like, why haven't they come on before? And so that's my bad. So I'm sorry.
Well, we're here now.
You're here now.
We're here now.
Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
How many years at Wyman?
37.
And you were at camp, right? Like you did
I started
camp.
At the camp to teach environmental science. So between September and May, we rent the facility, and we have lots of groups that come out. And at that time, we were heavily into environmental science. And so I came out to teach for 3 months. And then I stayed for the summer. And then I stayed for a year. And, you know, then time.
And then time. And then time. And you were executive director for how many years?
A little over seven. Yes.
And you were one of the first people. Sorry, Allison, I'm going to pull you in a second.
All good, Nicole.
But you were one of. So first of all, let me go back in the time machine and tell you that. And I think we've talked about this before, that when I first started at the organization, which I've been here for 16 years, when I first started, it was almost like. I'm not saying y'all, but like we almost thought of Wyman as a competitor because I don't think, quite frankly, I don't think we knew enough about what y'all did. Right. And because you worked with teenagers and we worked with teenagers, we were like, oh, like, you know, Wyman got that grant. Like, oh, darn it. You know what I mean? Or how come it wasn't us? Or we should have a camp. Well, we can't have a camp. Wyman has a camp and they're doing this great program and we want to be doing that. And I think that as I have learned, and as our staff have learned more and more about what you all do, we're not competitors. We're really like true like collaborators, which is like really overused, but we're like not doing the same thing.
No.
So we can enhance what we're doing.
Absolutely.
We're not in the same, we're in the same space, but what we do is very different.
And I think that's a change I've seen in the sector.
I would agree totally.
That, you know, maybe 20 years ago, it did seem like a more competitive environment, but particularly in the last 20 years.
And then especially since COVID.
But really, people just don't operate that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose there are some, but by and large, the other agencies in town that serve adolescents, we all work very collaboratively and harmoniously and build on each other's strengths. And I think that is, you know, first of all, important to do.
Sure.
And it also is just a smart way to go about the work.
Right, because let's face it, there's plenty of work to be done.
There are so many needs. There's plenty of work to be done.
Right.
And that's, you know, Nicole, she started talking about that. That's always one of those questions that when we get that, you know, whether it's from a funder or someone trying to decide where to put their resources, I'm like, oh no, this can't be an either or.
Right.
When you really think about the authentic needs of young people, you think about what is happening in our community, the level of needs that are out there, and truly what can happen if we really invest in powerful and partnership ways in like the current gifts and the future potential of our young people. Absolutely. Working through partnerships is the only way to be as we continue to move forward. And my team is, and you know, Claire has heard me say this and she would say this and I will continue to say it. There's really nothing that we do at Wyman that's not in partnership with someone else.
That's
right. Of course.
That's right.
So,
that's
yeah,
right. Course.
And
that
that's
just how
it should
roll.
Be,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? When we don't live in a silo.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
For the most part. And so how could we think that one agency would just serve one like serve all the needs? That doesn't make sense.
No.
Absolutely.
That doesn't make sense.
Absolutely.
And I think for years, funders were sort of pushing it down our throats, mm-hmm. right? Like, you need to collaborate. You mm-hmm. need to collaborate. You need to collaborate. And I think we were so, like, annoyed by it. And then, like, once we started deciding, like, hey, that actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And mm-hmm. for me in particular, you very early on, when I stepped into this role, you very early on kind of pulled me aside at, like, a United Way event or something, and you were like, hey, Mia and some other executive directors, like, we meet. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if nothing else, it's sometimes commiserating.
Yes.
Sometimes it's problem solving. Sometimes it's trying to tackle an issue with lots of different voices. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And that, to me, as somebody being from Wyman, which in my brain was like this, it is this wonderful organization that has a great reputation, a really rich history, has done some things that Prevented still wants to do. I was like, oh, wow, yes, I want to be part of that. You know, I want to be part of that group where I can learn from, be mentored by people who have done this. And so, in case I haven't articulated it before, I would just like to say thank you.
Well,
and there are many times where you and Susan Kidder and other amazing women have, mostly women, some men, but mostly executive director women, have saved my sanity. So
well,
I really would like to say thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And I will say, write it back at you, because we have had many cups of tea mm-hmm. together.
At Kitchen House.
Yes.
R.I.P. We missed that place.
I know. Miss my Kitchen House. And but those times are so important. And I think, you know, so we'll just give a nod to Allison to keep that up.
Yes.
Because I know that she has a rich network in this community, and she leverages it. But it's a small community
yeah.
of executive directors in the St. Louis region. And so we have to be able to come together and support each other and, like you said, do all those things. And you certainly did those for me as well. So,
well, thank you.
You are welcome, and thank you back.
Anybody who steps into this role, that I kind of pay it forward and say, I don't have to be your people, but you need to find your people
yeah.
that Absolutely. Share your job position, because being an executive director, having a board to answer to that are in charge but not totally in charge, and having funders and navigating that and trying to make sure that all of your eggs are not in one funding basket while also, you know, I mean,
that's right.
And not being seen as too corporate, but also you're running a business, so you need to make money. I mean, there are there's a lot of nuances
yes.
of nonprofit leadership. And so I don't care who you find, but find somebody. And, you know, that mentorship is really important.
You know what I love, Nicole, about this conversation that you just brought up is what you're talking about is the foundation of connections and relationships, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
Like in this specific space, in this specific role. But, you know, when you think about, we just finished our 125th anniversary last year, and I know it's so foundational to the work that you all do at Prevent Ed, the foundation of all great work with young people is relationships and mm-hmm. is connections. And so I just, like, I love the way you just modeled, like, you know, lifting that up initially, and everything you said about my predecessor, Claire Winnikin, is just so true. That is just how Claire rolled.
Y'all making me blush.
Yes.
Well, the blushing is well deserved. But speaking of connection, right? Mm-hmm. So we know yes. that we have a problem with connection, a lack of connection.
Yes.
And in the substance use world, there's a common saying that says the opposite of addiction is connection.
Right.
And that is something that you hear in the rooms a lot at different fellowship groups. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that there are people who use substances who feel perfectly connected. Yep. But also maybe they don't feel connected to themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. And we've seen in the last several years, we know that people, young people in particular, are less connected than ever before. And you all decided not to just read about it, but you all decided to do something about it. You have an amazing program that is exploding, yes. right? Yes. Talk about TCP.
Yes. Oh, I All love right. it. Thank you so much for the introduction, Nicole, because like there is nothing that lights me up more right now than talking about the team.
You connection. Can see it on your face, by the way. Yes. So, like you can see it on your
yeah,
face.
It yeah. And it should.
And it's exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so interesting because it's actually a program we started developing in partnership with Dr. Joseph Allen. He's a great adolescent developmental psychologist from the University of Virginia. He was actually a researcher on one of our other programs, our teen outreach program.
That top we, for short,
top
right?
For short.
Okay.
Yep. We do
that. Is all over the country.
It is all over the
We're
country.
We're going to come back to that in a
yep,
minute, but
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we were working with Joe, and this was probably
2012.
Yeah.
2012, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first conversations. Yeah.
The first conversations came up. And
because that was really when, like, I don't know what was the impetus for this, but that was really when like social media and like it kind of became this thing where parents right. and teachers and all these people were yeah. like, social media is destroying the fabric of our right. lives, you know? I mean,
Absolutely.
Is that sort of the impetus for some of this?
Some of it. We were hearing from some of our national partners who are doing the teen outreach program that they were starting to see the disconnection happening with young people and they were looking for something that would help. But Joe was also doing work and there were other dynamics going on yeah. at the same time. But that's what sort of sparked us to call him and have that conversation. And it was our dear departed friend, Devon Wilson, and Joe Miller and Joe Allen and myself in this little room. I remember being on the speakerphone and just like, he was like, I think I can help you.
There's something here.
And
there's
he's like, I
here.
Think we have a collaboration that we can yeah. develop here. And
there's that
yeah.
C word
we
again.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is.
We yeah.
And, you know, and it was so organic initially, right? Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, Joe and some of his amazing graduate students, yeah. you know, shout out to any graduate student
oh,
in the
right?
space of
mm-hmm.
social work, psychology, yes. educate, you know, human services fields, you know, who would work to just kind of put some curriculum pieces together. We would actually come back and test those with young people that we were serving both in University City School District at the time and in the Near South Side neighborhood mm-hmm. of St. Louis City, and young people would give us feedback. So having their perspective.
Oh, isn't that so, yeah.
Oh, it was so valuable.
It's a game changer.
Right? It was amazing. They would literally get on the phone with these postdocs who were
oh,
writing
that's
stuff.
That's awesome.
And so they'd hear from them. They'd be like, oh, you know, I liked this part of the lesson. This part was really
that was
boring.
Really
yeah
dumb.
Yeah, and that's to me how you know when people are like, well, how do you know that they're not telling you what you want to hear? Well, look, see this, do you see this
you
metric right here when they say like this lesson was really boring, like they're not lying.
Yeah.
They're gonna give it yeah. to you straight.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, it's this wonderful organic young people involved, Joe bringing his expertise, Wyman bringing our expertise. And fast forward, we got it to a point that it was ready to actually do a strong study on. Mm. So Joe, through some of his connections, was able to get funding back. And we started this in 2016 then from the William T. Grant Foundation. Mm. So shout out to them for mm-hmm. Their support in this space. But we did a three-year study here in the St. Louis region. So we were really thrilled. This is another one of those St. Louis born and made programs.
Totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis is a small town. That likes its props. So
yes.
There's the St. Louis Flowers
there.
There. But we were able to, we had two team members who were Heather Fullerton and Crystal Smith, who were just fantastic and amazing facilitators and so gifted with young people. And so we worked across three school districts in the St. Louis region. We did four rounds of TCP. It's a semester-long program with high mm-hmm. school students. So this is specific to high school-age students in
okay.
particular.
And it's small groups.
It's small groups. Okay. It's a maximum of about 15 young people. And essentially, you have about a 12-week curriculum. So it fits really well within that one semester time frame. And the curriculum was eventually put together using like other interventions or foundations of interventions that had been shown to be successful. Mm. So we took these different things and kind of eventually threaded them together, wove them together in a way that was cohesive, made sense. And while we did this research study, we continued to get feedback from the young people who were involved. So we were also able to plan, do, learn, adjust is a big part of how we operate at
plan,
Wyman.
Plan, do, learn, adjust.
Plan, do. Okay. So we did that. We did that throughout. long and short, you know, for every young person who was in the program, they had been randomly selected and there was another young person not in the program. Mm-hmm. The third year, Joe was able really to take all of that information, all of that data, and 4 months post-program. So that's a part that we were really excited about. A lot of program results are just right at the end of it, right? This is 4 months afterwards. So this program had staying power. We saw, you know, young people had lower rates of depressive symptoms, higher use of social coping strategies, stronger peer bonding, stronger connections to their schools. We did all of these in academic settings, so that's part of what we really looked at. Mm-hmm. You think about the things that, you know, were baseline concerns for young people going into COVID as we watched the adolescent mental health crisis sort of creep up on us, but that were incredibly amplified by COVID, right? And it's the things that this program has strong results in. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the young people who are a part of it and the facilitators who do the program just love it. They just dig in. It feels like, I think to some of they feel like they can be human in a space and
seen. Really comfortable, safe, supportive environment. Mm. And so many young people have been missing that. So many adults have been missing that. So I think, you know, our staff members and our colleagues who are delivering the program, it, you know, they get fulfilled so much by those conversations and being in that trusting kind of supportive environment.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah. So what we're, you know, what we started to do with this right before the pandemic hit is work with, you know, we were directly delivering this at U City High School. They have just been a phenomenal partner and we appreciate the opportunity to work there, but started to pilot it with some of our partners in our national network. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, we work with about 75 partners across the country, and that includes organizations in St. Louis, right, who think one of our evidence-based programs, TOP or TCP, really meet a need that they have. We provide the training, the curriculum, the ongoing technical assistance and support, the evaluation side of things. And it, you know, it works really well. There's no need for folks to reinvent the wheel if we don't need to. So we had just started piloting this with some national network partners, got through a first semester. Then COVID hit, so you know that slowed down just for a moment. But it is really, it's really a significant strategic focus for our organization right now. The needs are so clear. Yeah. Whether you see it coming from the Surgeon General, you know, calling this lack of connections literally a public health crisis, whether you read alerts from the American Academy of Pediatrics, you read the Centers for Disease Control, all of the statistics that are coming out, it is just the point in time where we know there are needs for young people. There is not one singular magical solution. And we have a really strong opportunity.
It's a tool in the tool belt.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And imagine, you know, young people have lost, no matter where they were, you know, in their, you know, kind of growing up time when the pandemic hit, our kids have all lost generally 2 years of typical developmental experience. Mm-hmm. So whether you were 4 and 5 or 1 and 2 or, you know, 16 and 17, that has an impact. So this idea of being in a space where there is intentional work that is done to just really unpack connections and relationships and experience that within the group. And I think that's one of the pieces that's important. It's not as much about the curriculum as what the curriculum and activities enable within the group for those powerful types of peer support, those powerful types of, oh my gosh, Claire just said that. I thought I was the only one who experienced something like that. Mm-hmm. For those types of ahas to happen, and then for young people to take those skills and use them outside of the Teen Connection Project as well.
So that actually reminds me of something. When we were reviewing the research after the study was completed, one of the things that jumped off the page for me was this interviews that they did with other students in the school who were not participating in the program. Yep. And they asked them about the students who were in the program. And they were noticing. Huh. They were saying things like,
get out.
You know, Nicole's just more approachable. Or, you know, Allison, yeah, I'd like to be friends with Allison now. I didn't really, you know her before, but she's been, you know, kind of out front, and more friendly, and just these little pieces, so you can begin to see how something like this could be planted in an environment, and then it just sort of blossoms as more and more people have the skills to build and maintain mm-hmm. healthy relationships in a school, you know, in any kind of setting.
Right.
I mean, you think about, you know, we just had the Super Bowl, right? And,
right.
And the ads that the NFL was doing about bullying.
Oh, my gosh. Right? I know.
So
I know.
This is really front and center for so many people. It doesn't matter what kind of background you come
mm-mm.
from.
Mm-mm. And it's a national, it's a national issue.
Connection Absolutely. Is universal.
That's right.
Yeah.
The need for connection. Like, yeah. it is what makes us human. Mm-hmm. It is what separates yeah. us from other animals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when we take, so part of what we did for this is, you know, developed a whole training process mm-hmm. from it. And the training takes those who are becoming facilitators through, you know, a pseudo Teen Connection Project experience.
And
right?
can I interrupt for a second and just like help people understand, because I think this is something that it took me a while to understand, is that with this project and with your top project, I mean, Wyman is really trained in the art of facilitation, yeah. right?
Yes.
Like you all will train and support other people to facilitate it. So it's not like you're trying to go into X school, you, Allison, and deliver this program.
Right.
I mean, maybe you
that's
like
right.
could, but you also know that that's not really like how it works best.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
you train the other folks, whether it's school administrators, other agencies, mm-hmm. whatever, and you really train them to facilitate this
yes.
program that you all have created.
That's right. That's
and
right.
that includes adults, and you also train young people to be sort of ambassadors for your
it's,
kind
it's
of?
It's primarily adults
okay.
at this point.
Okay, okay.
Although, you know, you tapped into one of those, you know, blue sky dreams.
Uh-huh, right, exactly.
What, you know, mm-hmm. what can it look like to
yeah.
kind of, you know, train
we,
young
yeah,
people
we
to
are looking at another
and, yeah.
Implementation model where they are trained. It's a peer-to-peer.
Oh, peer teaching. So that's where it's at, man.
So
I could talk to you all day
yeah,
about
we're,
peer teaching.
We're checking that. We're,
yeah.
we're checking that one
But
out
for right. now, it's primarily adults, and you're training them as the eyes and ears, the boots on the ground.
Correct.
They're the ones that you're training in the program. People, I will mention that people pay, mm-hmm. right? And you have funders and great
yes.
sponsors and all and donors, but that yep. people pay to bring the program to their school, to their
yep.
community.
That's,
okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
And part of the rationale around that, when we launched the National Network, which is where these programs are housed, is that there's so much great work happening out all mm-hmm. over this country, right? There are so many talented agencies and organizations and schools, and they know their students, their young people. They
well,
know
it's
the
all
environment.
About relationships.
They
yep.
know the environment. So us coming in
yep.
on top of that is not always additive.
Right.
But if we could empower the folks that are there
yeah,
and
totally.
Give
yeah.
them tools that they can use. And like you said, so our focus is really on, you know, on facilitation of programs that are proven to work.
Yes.
And if they learn those facilitation skills and they get to continue to practice them with an evidence-based program
mm-hmm.
where it starts to, they can really see the result of that quickly, then they can apply those skills to everything else
to
they're
everything
doing.
Else. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I cut you off before.
Oh,
Did
no.
I cut you off?
No,
okay.
you're fine. You know, I think the one piece I was going to add to that is when you talk about our work really focused on training others, that was a really strategic decision that our board made back in the early 2000s.
Really? Yeah, that strategic plan was right around 2000.
Yeah.
And then the launch of the network really took off around 2009.
Yeah. And that was really about, so Wyman does, we deliver these programs as well.
Okay.
And the reason that's really important, as Claire would always say, we eat our own cooking, right? So we are not going to go out and train you in something that we don't have folks, their boots on the ground,
it's
their
like
ears to the ground.
It's consultants that have never
doing...
worked in the field.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So,
so that
is really that is foundational to mm-hmm. what we believe and mm-hmm. how we approach. And, you know, as we thought about this in terms of strategy, our strategy is really focused on how can we leverage and create the best, most positive impact for young people, right? So we talked earlier about where and how partnerships are so important to that. We have these proven programs. We could try to grow and just make Wyman really, really big.
Right.
Or we can be really smart and do our
slice. It's like
slice.
You go wider or deeper.
Exactly.
And you're really going deeper.
Going deeper.
And wider through the network.
Exactly.
But in an intentional way, in partnership.
Right. Yeah.
So speaking of the network, okay, so one of my first meetings with Claire. So I don't know if I've talked about this on the pod before, but I have my master's in public health, and I really got into the evaluation side of it. Mm-hmm. So qualitative, quantitative, okay. And one of my goals, I don't know if it's going to happen, but we're going to manifest it, is we have been trying for 40 years to get one of our programs on a registry.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which now NREP, which was the National Registry of Evidence, but that no longer exists. But now there are basically every state now has the kind of their own thing.
Right.
Yes.
And other entities have them and whatever.
Grant makers have them. Universities have them.
Yes.
And this is like a cottage industry of these things.
It is a cottage industry. And a peek behind the curtain here. This is kind of shop talk, but it's hard to get funding if you're not on a registry or if you don't have the outcomes year over year over year that mm-hmm. you can prove because you have been fully evaluated.
Right.
And evaluation ain't cheap.
No.
And so for organizations that are trying to get on a registry or to scale it mm-hmm. so that other states, because they've got this thing that they know works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can show for years, in our case, 40 years, that you've got consistent outcomes. We can predict them within a percentage point.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't had necessarily the robust evaluation because that takes funding and time. Mm-hmm.
Time.
You mentioned that these conversations started in 2012. You have to develop the program, and then you do a 3-year study.
Which required funding.
Which required funding.
And mm-hmm. a great research partner.
Right. Yeah. And so when I first came to you, one of the things I said was, how did you do it? And you were like, well, how much time do you have?
Oh, but you have to tell the top story.
Okay.
Because,
yeah. because it's
and, really, really.
And, but it's something that I think most people are like, oh, well, how, you know, we've had board members before. We don't now. Board is great, but it's like, well, maybe we should just go to New York. Well, like, mm-hmm. okay, and how, right? Like, I would love to be able to have one of our partners in New York use some of our programs, but how do you scale it? How do you replicate it? How do you train to mm-hmm. make sure that the program is being implemented with fidelity?
Yes.
How do, and that takes a huge, I mean, and you have staff people that's what they do.
We do now.
Because of the strategic decision that your board made.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
But it took time. It took time.
It took quite a bit of time to get it established and to enroll people in that possibility.
Yes. Yes.
And to getting on those lists. So I remember early, this was even before we started the network, and I was having a conversation with Susan Philiber, who's a nationally recognized evaluator.
Okay.
Philiber and Associates, and they had done work on TOP back in the early 80s. And so I was interviewing her on the phone, just kind of get some backstory on the
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying, Claire, you don't understand what you have here. This is so rare that you have both quantitative evidence.
Which is numbers.
Numbers. Mm-hmm. And qualitative evidence.
Which are the anecdotes.
The anecdotes, but the how.
The how.
Because
evaluated the how.
What made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, there are just a handful of programs in the country that have that have both of those. Because the how is how you replicate.
Yes.
Right? You can have the evidence that something works all day long. But if you don't know how to get those results again and again. And so we had little
I think that's what we're missing.
That were saying things like, you know, students reported that the facilitator really liked and cared about them. Now that seems rather simple, doesn't it? But think about all
Not when you're a teenager, though.
When you're a teenager, you often think that a lot of adults don't like you.
Well, because a lot of them act like they don't like you.
Exactly. and teenagers can be a little bristly sometimes. Yes. So sometimes maybe, you know, they're
And we not, were too when yes. we were teenagers.
I don't know. Maybe some of us still aren't. But that, you know, being able to build that into our training model.
Yes. Like how to build rapport.
There were eight different elements that we understood that were key. And those were the things that we needed to make sure that were replicated.
Mm.
Because anybody can follow a curriculum.
Sure.
But if you can't follow the process that goes along with it and who you are in that space with young people, then you're not going to really be successful. So.
Which goes back to connection.
Exactly.
Yeah. Almost all of those elements tie back.
To connection.
To building a healthy connection.
Yeah. You know, Nicole, it's interesting because as Claire talks about TOP.
TOP is a teen pregnancy prevention? No.
No, it's a youth development program that has great teen pregnancy prevention outcomes.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Exactly.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. Okay, great.
And some academic, you know, risk factor
sure.
outcomes.
Yes,
and
that's my ignorance. Thank you for clarifying.
No,
okay.
You're good. And all those great social and emotional skill development pieces, which
awesome.
We know is the foundation of all of that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, as we think back and we think back over Wyman's time, we were really fortunate that Claire had found the Teen Outreach Program back in the day when we were doing work with adolescents, again, in the Near South Side community. And the parents did a big survey of the adults in the community around what was needed. And the big piece that they said is, you know, our adolescents need something more than basketball that's available, right? Like, what else is there? So,
especially if you don't play basketball.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And yeah, no shade on basketball.
Right. But if you don't do that,
right.
like, then what?
Exactly. And they needed more. And so Claire very wisely kind of went and said, well, what is out there? We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We found TOP. We loved TOP. And eventually our board had the opportunity to purchase the rights to the Teen Outreach Program. So much of that research that had been done actually came with it. So we didn't do that first part, but we got to really then live from the benefits of what that looked like. And then when the federal government puts out dollars that are available, if you are on an evidence-based practice list, which is what TOP was, that's what got the network up and rolling, right? So then when it came time, so we learned a lot from that, right? We were lucky, we were smart, and we seized an opportunity.
And you had a board that was bought in.
Yes. And my predecessor, Dave Hilliard, who was the executive at the time, when I came to him and said, I think we should buy this, because Cornerstone Consulting, who had it at the time, was changing their business model and they were going to be shedding the Teen Outreach program. And they contacted me and I ran into his office and I was like, we should buy it. And he was like, convince the board and it's a go. And I thought, how the heck am I going to do that? No idea. But I had some good coaching, and we had a great board subcommittee that put me through my paces for about 9 months until we had a good model. And,
again, it's that time. It all takes time.
We negotiated the price and were able to acquire it. And then we just replicated it the way the prior owner of the program had for a couple of years so that we could figure out what we had, and then the board really invested in building out this new model, this national network, and that was pivotal for the organization.
Absolutely. So, you know, today to 75 partners who, you know, in 2024 will serve collectively nearly 30,000 young people in St. Louis and across the country.
And it generates revenue.
It generates revenue. Since we started the network, we've served somewhere in the range of 350,000 young people.
Yeah.
So you fast forward when we had this opportunity to work with Joe Allen then around Teen Connection Project. we had a better sense of, okay, what some of this took. But it was also the partnership with the right researcher. We called it a research practice partnership, right? The researcher, Joe is certainly not the kind of person to come in and, you know, lord over you and here's exactly what needs to be done. I mean, it was a true partnership, as we talked about before, from the developmental side of things to talking about learnings to talking about where we go with this. And then he was the person who was able, because of his track record, to access the dollars, the research dollars that we needed to support that. We needed to hire staff to do that.
Right.
You can't just do something like that. Oh, by the way, on top of all other duties.
Correct. Right.
I mean, it was a beautiful opportunity, but then we learned and we knew what it takes to then get on those evidence-based practice lists.
So is TCP on that list?
So Teen Connection Project is now on two lists. Oh. So it's on...
Jealous, but in the best possible way, you know?
Yep.
Like, I'm so envious, but I'm also so happy. And it's sort of, for us at Prevent Ed, and I'm not blowing smoke up y'all's butt, but you all set the bar in terms of where we want our programs to go in terms of the scale and the reach and the evaluation, because a lot of us at Prevent Ed, we're nerds. We're evaluation nerds and we make no bones about it.
Yeah.
And we want that. And so we're cheering for you. And we're also like, oh, we need to do that. We need to get there.
So we need to go out for more of those cups. I need to pick up where you and Claire left off, because, again, it is doable. And
it does take a lot of time.
It's not just an overnight thing.
You can't just send in your study and expect that they're going to put you on the list. I remember I think it was NREP, actually.
I know where you're going with this.
There was one that we sent them the materials, hard copies, and I'm talking about banker boxes full of stuff that they required three copies of everything kind of thing. I shipped it, no kidding, three times because they kept losing it. But then, even then, because oftentimes this is, you know, it is somebody's part-time job to manage that, and so... Or there's turnover or whatever. There's different aspects to it. And so you have to just kind of be a dog with a bone and just keep on them until you get there.
Can I tell you, this is like
it's gonna happen.
So
Nicole,
it's nuts that this is the conversation we're having, because we have, I think I've shared with you both before, we have a cannabis peer education program. Mm-hmm. We have had a randomized control trial. It had really positive results. But it was a small sample size, right? So now we need bigger, and that's part of it too, right? And so we have been working in our region, but also we've been getting requests from people outside of our region. But, you know, nothing is free. So it's like, how can we have enough in the game where it makes sense for our staff to go and train it? Because right now we're still going in and training it and then doing a trainer of trainers. All super interesting for those at home, but some of you are like leaning in because this is interesting to you.
We get out around this too.
Yes, right. So we have been trying for a year to get the program, quote unquote, sold, right, to other kind of counties or other organizations throughout the state. We have one person who this is like, she's been doing this, right, in addition to some other things she's doing, but this has been her thing. And yesterday, we got word that another county in the state wants it and is going to pay for our staff to go.
Hey.
I started crying.
Celebration.
Like when I got the message, I started crying. And so we sent out an email to the staff saying, after a year of work, Emma has made this happen. Our It's Complicated program is expanding to other places. And I have to tell you, like, our staff were so excited.
Of course.
Because they've seen.
They know the work.
They know the work. And they've seen what she's been doing. Very unglamorous work, by the way. You know, having the meetings, being told no 14,000 times. Mm-hmm. Like, and knowing that if you get more data, you can make your case stronger. But also you can't, you're like locked, right? Yeah. How do I get more data without more funding? And how do I get more funding without more data? Like, how does that work?
And sometimes data isn't even the thing that sells.
Yes.
Too, right?
Yes.
So it's the suite of, you have to have great data. You have to have really good processes and trainings. And sometimes you have to just figure out what it is that the entity that you're dealing with, whether it's a school or a county or whatever, what is the issue that they're trying to tackle, and is this actually the right fit? And I think that's been part of, you know, with TCP, Teen Connection Project, we're just fortunate in the sense only that people were beginning to recognize
that
this
it is top
issue.
Of mind for people.
So that's great for TCP, but it's, you know, all the other things that folks are doing to try and help build connection for young people. The fact that that is the zeitgeist right now in the field is that's going to help us.
It's an opportunity.
We're going to get this to a lot more young people who really, really, really need it.
Need it. Yeah. Need it.
And I will say, well, a couple of things, Nicole, on that side of things. One, just going back, congratulations. Because
Thank you. Emma, I hope you're listening.
Yes.
Way congratulations, to go, Emma.
And it really, and I think for our team, right, it's they believe, so it's all about relationships again, right? And that's where those partnerships come from. They believe so powerfully in the program. They love the partners that they work with and helping to support them. Yeah. And there's so much learning that comes from that, right? So it's just about getting that flywheel going. But I will say, I'm guessing there can be like a link to our website on here somewhere.
Absolutely. But shout it out. Yeah. How do people find you?
So WymanCenter.org, WymanCenter.org. But we do, thanks to an anonymous funder in the St. Louis region, we do have some funding in 24 and 25 to bring other St. Louis, Missouri region folks. We can even go across the river into Illinois, you know, when we think about the metropolitan region, who want to be able to deliver Teen Connection Project. So, you know, if this has piqued anyone's interest, or if you are a parent and this has piqued your interest and you know your school needs this or you want to see this for your child, again, these would be organizations who know that they can serve high school age youth. They have staff who are available to do this. But the dollars that we have available would help cover training costs, would help cover curriculum costs, and we would do ongoing, you know, technical assistance with these organizations. So probably by the time this airs, we have an RFP process that will be up and live.
A request for proposal.
Yep, request for proposal and available. And again, as Claire said, this is part of our work to expand this, is how do we braid together, right? The partners who are interested, the young people who say, yes, this would be great, the various funding opportunities, the various, all the things, right, that you need to be able to bring this to more young people in our region, in our state, and of course, Wyman's national reach.
Sometimes it's young people advocating.
I was just going to say that. Like, we have a ton of young people that listen to this because they want ideas and they are going to save the world, right?
Yes.
And so if I'm an administrator and one of my students comes to me and says, hey, I heard about this project. We need this. Here's what I'm seeing amongst my peers. This is a evidence-based strategy that I know that I've heard works or that I've researched, which is all things that young people these days do, right? If they're going and advocating to their administrator, what administrator, honestly, is going to be like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Hopefully none.
Hopefully none. That's
but
right.
Actually, I mean, I think there's some words right from some of the young people themselves.
Here's where we're gonna end it. So leave us with some inspiration for today.
Some
okay.
Powerful words. Yeah. Okay. So this is in. There's some great blog posts on our website around this.
WymanCenter.org.
WymanCenter.org. So this is from one of our facilitators, one of our partner facilitators. This is actually from New Mexico. And she said, TCP encouraged the teens to be true to their emotions, gave them tools and strategies to make connections, and made them feel a little less isolated. Seeing the teens smile and excited when sharing with the former strangers turned friends was one of the most memorable experiences of delivering Teen Connection
Project. Did we have that like in
Right.
For everybody in this country right now.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
that,
now can I
that needs to be on a billboard like above y'all's office. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So that's the adults. And then this is from a young person actually in one of our program in our Teen Connection project at U City High School.
Okay.
So and this is actually they contributed this to a newsletter that we did about TCP and distributed. So they say this is Giovanni. Giovanni says lesson 8 in TCP is hashtag you matter. And I like this one because it shows appreciation and shows that we really care about others, especially our teachers. During our group, we made cards for adults who have made a positive difference at University City High School. Sometimes people don't get the recognition they deserve, but this is a way to give them their flowers. As students, we can have on and off days, and teachers have to deal with our attitude and put their own aside sometimes. When I gave my card, it seemed like they were having an off day, and then they lit up. You could tell it made their day. It feels good to give back, and hopefully it helps the community to be better.
Yeah. Again, can we just have more of that for everybody?
Yeah. Well, that's the best pretty damn please. Commercial for TCP that I've ever heard. And we're going to leave it there.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in learning more about TCP, please reach out to the folks at Wyman. And it's in or the top program also.
Absolutely.
Or if you're interested in Camp Wyman, yeah. Any of the things, right?
Absolutely.
Any of the things.
You want to bring young people out?
Yes.
You want to get married at camp? There's all the stuff.
All the
we
things. We had a staff
property.
Retreat at Camp
yes.
Wyman. So there's
yes.
all, we did some tree climbing. That was super fun.
I think you threw hatchets.
We did.
You
we did.
Did.
We did. We did that too. That people loved it.
Yeah.
Seriously though. Congratulations on the project.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On your retirement.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your new-ish role that's new-ish. Been a long time in the making,
that's
my friend.
Right, that's
so
right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Nicole.
If you like what you heard, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing like Claire just did.
I did.
And if you want more information, seriously, go to WymanCenter.org. Get all of it there. Thank you so much for joining The Preventable.
Oh, Nicole, thank you again for inviting us.
Yeah, this was so fun. You made my day.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.